Please join with me in prayer. Faithful God, you have entrusted great gifts to us and have called us to take risks in your name. Sometimes I really wonder if I'm tuned in to who you really are. Am I keeping my talents out of sight? So wake us up, O God, and I'm going to repeat the prayer I heard already. Thankful I am this morning for the opportunity to live and to be here. Amen. Well, grace and peace from God, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The sermon's on the parable, and we've had parables for the last few weeks, and the parable of that Jan preached on last Sunday comes right before this one. So what does this parable have to hold for us 1960 years after it was written? How does our complex world and experience engage with this truth that we have in front of us? Well, the landowner goes away. But before he does, he gives three of his servants some of his money. They don't all get the same, but they get talent. Now, when you hear the word and I hear the word, we think of the stuff that we are good at. Talent, like the ability to make music or step up in the pocket to be able to throw a touchdown pass. But the text this morning, talent is not that. It's a large amount of money. 80 pounds. Like picking up an 80-pound ready-mix concrete sack at Lowe's. And if that's in gold, or if it's in silver, we don't really know. But if it's in silver, even the one talent is 19 and a half years for the common labor. It's a boatload of money, a ton of money, like we say zillions. The master trusts the servants, and then he goes away, and eventually he calls in the debt. Two of them made money, they doubled it, the third played it safe. The comedian Stephen Wright once said, "I started off with nothing, and I've still got most of it." The same is true of the servant with the one talent. He buried it. He didn't lose any, but he put it under a mattress. Now, why did he do that? The text says what? He was afraid. So what prompts the fear of this third servant? I mean, he's just not nervous or afraid. He's terrified. And not only doesn't he go out and trade to increase, but he doesn't even put it in the bank for interest. These days it wouldn't be much anyway, huh? So how does this relate to you and me? What's the point of all of this? What do you think? Now, I suppose our stewardship committee here and the church council and Jim Barrow would be happy as punch if this would be a message of stewardship this morning. If you would only give more instead of hiding it or burying it, the master would reward you. It kind of sounds like a different kind of evangelism than you're used to. But you've heard this sermon before. You've heard it. And it's possible that this parable could be pointing in another direction. Many of you have had the spiritual gifts inventory. You filled out your talents, the things that you're good at. Some of you are better at things than others. That's just the way life is. But you've heard this sermon too. The parable is a warning against laziness, considering the landowner's eventual return. You know about that too. Or maybe this is about risk and faith. Now, I can believe that you could push me across Niagara Falls on a tight rope in a wheelbarrow. And believing that doesn't require me to do anything. I can believe that. But faith means getting in the wheelbarrow. And you know that too. You know all that business about risk. So what are we going to do? What am I going to do with this? Now, I can tell you that I've often read this parable without questioning the servant's assessment of his boss. When he said, "I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed." I've often taken that at its face value. Yeah, he's got it kind of figured out. But I wonder about that. Think about it for a minute. Neither of the other servants felt that fear, even though they had more. They had more to lose. And the landowner gives them considerable sums to invest and then only comes back after a long time. He's trusting them. And the landowner rejoices in the success of the first servants. "Well done. Enter into the joy of your master." And notice in the fourth instance that his servant's assessment without question, "You knew, did you? So I ask you." He also knew there would be a question at the end, but why is he afraid? Now, I don't know if we can answer that question. But what about this side of the formula? Are the third servant's fearful actions and tragic fate a result of a distorted image of the landowner? I wonder if this parable could also be a warning about how I picture God, about how I imagine God might interact with me, about how I assess God's character and disposition towards me. And just perhaps, now I know there's judgment at the end, all that business of gnashing of teeth, but maybe it's a way of the writer to say, "Hey, Jim, this is important stuff." Now, our impressions of God affect us and shape our actions on a day-to-day basis. Yes, even though on those times when I bury God so deep that I don't remember where God is. So, just as an idea, Matthew might be offering a kind of warning that all too often what we see is what we get. One of my favorite pastors is Dr. David Loos. And I want to quote him. These are his words, quote. He goes on, "That is, if we imagine God as a primarily stern, angry, and given to dispensing a terrifying, harsh justice, we will likely come to believe that everything bad in our lives is punishment from God." Similarly, if we see God as arbitrary and capricious, that's what we experience, a fickle, unsympathetic God who meets our expectations. That's the end of his quote, but I would add a God who sometimes just seems to be absent. Now, do you wonder what might have happened if the first two servants had lost money? I wonder about that. Would the master have been angry? I don't think so. Because what the master commends is not their profit, but their faithfulness. They took it seriously. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been trustworthy in little. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the master. I love that. I love that. So maybe, just maybe, this is not a parable about money or ability, but about trust. The master trusts his servants, and two of them return the favor, returning it rather than fear. So, is that the lesson for you this morning and for me? You have to decide. But I want to ask the serious question. What do I think about when I think about God? Is God gracious or stern? Is God loving or judgmental? Is God eager for peace or prone to violence? Does that picture I have in my mind match the picture of the God I know in Jesus? And then, what do I do with that? With all of that, do I keep it buried, afraid to look at it, afraid to share it with my family or my church or my community? Sometimes that word of judgment is a kind of a serious thing, isn't it? It is for me. The point is that Jesus does not play it safe. Jesus never played it safe. And today, each one of us have been given so much. My friends at Richmond Beach, you are so wealthy. Unbelievable resource in this room. I'm not talking money, but I'm talking about the kind of faith that knows what Jesus is calling us to. And each one of us, yes, maybe I'm only a one talent person, but each of us has been given so much. What was that prayer that little guy said? I'm thankful for the opportunity to live. That could have been the whole sermon right there. To bury what we've been giving is like building a ship, someone said, and never sailing it out of port. It's safe, but it's almost useless. Once upon a time, there was an old man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach every morning before he began his work, and one morning he was walking on the shore. A big storm had passed, and the beach was littered with starfish stretching in all directions. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy approaching, and as the boy walked, He paused ever so often to reach down, and then he would pick up an object and throw it into the sea. The boy came closer, and the man called out, "Good morning. May I ask what you're doing?" The young boy paused, looked up, and replied, "I'm throwing starfish into the ocean. The tide has washed them up on the beach. They can't return to the sea by themselves. And when the sun comes high, they're going to die. And thus I throw them back." The old man replied, "But there are tens of thousands of starfish on the beach. I'm afraid you won't be able to make much of a difference." The boy bent down, picked up another one, and threw it as far as he could. And then he turned, and he smiled, and he said, "It made a difference for that one." Amen.